Welcome to the Bread Women Project podcast. I'm Pamela Johnston, and today we're going to look at how one woman successfully used a business model while dating. The purpose of the Bread Women Project podcast is for you to listen in to the honest and authentic sharing of successful women that have experienced a transitional moment that led them to lead their lives differently. Before we get to that, I want to fill you in on what the Bread Women Project has to offer. On the podcast, we feature confessions of highly successful women, but soon we will have an entire network available to help women who recognize they are at a crossroads and are wondering what step to take first in the direction of their new life. But right now, I'm joined by Honey Parker, an advertising and branding professional for over 25 years. Her company is Slow Burn Marketing, which, in the interests of full disclosure, has done work for the Bread Women Project. Thanks for joining me here today, Honey. How are you?
I'm really happy to be here. Thank you.
Great. Well, I want to just launch right into the interview because we've got lots to cover. And so I wanted to ask you first to tell us about your background and how you got on the road to being a bread woman.
Well, I definitely think a lot of it goes back to my parents. It was interesting. My mother grew up in a family where she was, you know, she was in her parents' house and went right from her parents' house to her husband's house. And she never felt in control. You know, it was always up to her parents or up to her husband, and if something happened to any of them, you know, where would she be? And so she was really focused on making sure that I grew up to be independent, and which is pretty funny because as time went on, she confessed to me that she felt like she went too far. So that was definitely part of it. Yeah, well, you know, she liked me to be right close by, and at one point, her offered to buy me a car if I didn't move to New York. And then my father, who had his own business and was always in sales and a businessman, you know, he would take me to work with him when I was a kid. He just liked having us around. And I remember going on client calls with him, and then we'd go out for what he'd call the businessman's lunch. And he had some of my best business advice came from him. And it was never, ever, but since you're a woman, you have to go about it differently. You know, it was just like, this is what you do. This is what you ask for. You know, I never stopped and thought, well, I have a barrier. So between my mother wanting me to be independent and my father being so focused on business and success, I always thought, well, I'm going to be in business and I'm going to be successful.
I get it. My background wasn't unlike that. That's really interesting. So that's what sets you on the road to being a bread woman. So
yeah, I think so. I think when you eliminate the what could go wrong and just focus on what could go right, you just go.
Right. Well, okay, so that's where you've ended up as a bread woman. And then what was it like to be a single female primary breadwinner? Because I think that's part of your story too.
Well, I thought it was pretty great. Being single in New York and being in advertising was a lot of fun. I wasn't much of a dater. I was always happy to be with my friends because I'd go out. I was the queen of the one date. You know, they never really had enough going on or were never interesting enough for me to care enough to have a second date. But I loved the independence. I loved being able to go someplace when I wanted to go and leave when I wanted to leave. In business, things, you know, again, it was always just that assumption of success. Well, this is going to go right. And I think when you walk around with that assumption of success, as long as you put in the time and the hard work, it pays off. And so I went up the ladder pretty quickly, did some job hopping. But, yeah, loved being single in New York as long as I just hung out with my friends, not so much for dating.
Right.
Dating was always a disappointment.
Right. Yes, I hear you. Again, similarities there. Now, you got into the advertising business and rose to quite a positions of prominence, let's say.
Yeah, I went to school for very focused. I knew I was going to go into advertising. My background was art originally, and I started as an art director. I had a little side moment where I did stand up, and that helped me develop my writing, and I switched and I became a writer because one day I went in for a job at Gray Advertising as an art director. I went for an art director position, and they said, "Wow, that's a great book, but we're just looking for a writer at this point." And I had been thinking about switching, and I said, "Can you wait a week?" And they said, "Sure." And I came back with a writer's portfolio, and they said, "We can't afford you." But eventually they hired me, and I became a VP creative, ultimately became a creative director, and worked freelance as a creative director a lot of the big agencies around the country, New York and L.A.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. And I want to hear more about that later in another interview. But right now, I know that you're with a fellow named Blaine Parker, and he's going to jump in on this conversation later in this podcast. But I understand that when you and Blaine got together, there was a bit of a power imbalance when you first started dating. So I'm sure our listeners would love to hear about that.
Yeah, it was odd. Like I said, I wasn't a big dater. If I didn't want to date you twice, I didn't want to date you once, you know? And my first date with him, I can't explain it, but I knew something was different. And he was very upfront. His marriage had just ended, and he had debt, which was bizarre. Look, I didn't understand debt. From the moment I got my first paycheck, I never had debt, never lived paycheck to paycheck, never understood how somebody could do that. And it made me uncomfortable. Like, here was this great guy, and he didn't try to hide anything. But, you know, I was making good money, and he was in the hole. And I was really uncomfortable with that.
You're listening to Pamela Johnston on the Bread Women Project podcast, and I'm speaking with Honey Parker. She's just about to tell us how she used a business model while living with Blaine. So, you came to be living with this gentleman, honey, and I'd like to know how you applied a business model to living with him. That's going to be a good one.
Well, I mean, this lets you know how much I was in a business headspace and not a relationship headspace, which was ridiculous. We moved in after a year of dating, which scared me because I definitely have commitment issues. And I think because of that, I kind of panicked. And I thought, we can't do this. And he had given up his apartment to move in, which to me, having come from New York, was a big deal to give up your apartment. So I thought, well, how long do I let this guy stay here before I tell him it's time to hit the pavement? And I thought, well, you know, in business, if a headhunter finds me a job, I have to stay in that job for 3 months for the headhunter to get paid. And everybody says that a relationship is more important than business, not that at the time I believed it. So I thought, well, I will give him 4 months before I'm left.
Wow, you are generous.
Yeah, and sad and pathetic. Yeah, it was just stupid. Fortunately, and we talk about a story for another time, something happened that made me realize no. But since I had given him 4 months, I had time to realize I was being ridiculous.
Well, you know, I hear you, but I know I myself applied business models to my personal life, and I think that might not be a very uncommon thing for the successful women among us to do. But again,
well, yeah, because it's where you found success. It worked.
Yeah, you wanted to work here too, so it was all in the right spirit for sure. Now I think it's time that we bring Mr. Parker in because probably would have some really great things to share with our audience, and I know I want to hear things from his side. So Blaine, are you there?
I am here.
Super. How are you doing?
I'm doing fabulously. Thank you, Pamela.
Great. Well, again, I want to keep this moving along because there's a lot to cover and it's very interesting. So basically, Blaine, what was it like meeting a woman who earns more than you? How'd you feel about that?
Before I answer that, can I just say I'm a little shocked to find out that after 12 years of marriage, my wife has commitment issues.
No, you're not.
Anyway, I just have to address that. No, I'm not. So I had no problem dating a woman who made more than me. It just, you know, I didn't think there was any stigma attached to it at all. There have always been really strong women in my family. And in fact, my mother started working as a realtor when I was 12. And my parents divorced when I was in college, and she has continued supporting herself quite well. In fact, I would call her retired now, although I believe she still keeps her real estate license, just does. And, you know, all my life I've been around women who could make it happen. And, in fact, you know, I've been married twice before meeting Honey, which I'm a little surprised didn't serve as a warning to her.
It freaks me out.
Yeah. But both of my ex-wives.
She's going to do a podcast on that. Don't worry.
But both of my ex-wives are strong women, and you know they I don't know that they ever made more than me, but they certainly were capable of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it wasn't a big deal for me, and really it was something that, after a fashion, I was always looking for in a relationship. You know, I wanted a good capable partner, and I actually didn't care if she made more than me. You know, I don't have an ego challenge with it. I've never been threatened by it. And one of Honey's favorite comments about what happens in the relationship professionally is every win is a team win.
Right. Well, that's a great philosophy, and I agree. I can't say I always made it happen. I kept doing two people's side of the team, but again, that's for another time. Okay, let's move on to basically, I want to know how you feel coming into a relationship with two ex-wives behind you and trailing debt.
You know, who feels good about anything like that? But I'm also a realtor and a realist. I'm a realist, and I like to have perspective, and I had recognized where the mistakes were in both marriages, and I think I was pretty upfront about them, and I never tried to hide anything from Honey. And, you know, I could say the amount of debt was significant. I wouldn't say it was crippling. And I was working on paying it down, and it only took me about a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, partly because I was with a woman who, frankly, didn't demand lots of expensive dinners out and expensive jewelry, which was a big help.
That was the honeypot of this practice, huh?
Yeah, I will say, I hadn't mentioned this, but my brother was the one who really kind of talked me off the ledge and gave me the best advice how to deal with it when I found out that Blaine had debt, because I knew he was working his way out of it. But my brother, who grew up around strong women, said, your choice is to leave, or if you're going to stay, your choice is to be supportive.
Mm.
And so that's what I tried to be.
Nice. Well, I think the other thing that I would like to comment is just that you were honest. You owned the things that had gone wrong. And that, you know, when someone's being honest and when they're showing you the down and dirty ugliness of them, then I think that actually creates trust.
Absolutely. I mean, on our first date, he said, I'm an open book, which, of course, scared me.
Right.
Because there was everything.
Yes.
You know, I was never blindsided.
Yes. Yes. I've actually just recently experienced that. And so It's pretty good. So good for you, Blaine.
Mm-hmm.
We're the Bread Women Project podcast, and I'm Pamela Johnston. Today I'm joined by Honey and Blaine Parker, who are now working as a team. And up next, they're going to share the secret to not only staying together, but also working together. So how did you two start working together, and how did you eventually work out the finances of that?
We started to work together by accident, truthfully, and it's accident and Blaine's fault. impossible.
Oh, I see. Accident and fault. All right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
We were in Hollywood, so of course we did the cliche. We wrote screenplays. And Blaine was connected to a woman who's written an Oscar-winning movie. And she asked him to work on a script, and he asked if it would be okay if he worked with me on it. And that was the beginning of us working together. And it was almost the death of us. Once we figured that out, don't let somebody tell you that building a house is a test of a marriage. Working together.
Building a house was a piece of cake.
That was nothing, but working together. And it was really upsetting. And I remember at one point saying to him, I don't want to do this anymore because I feel like I'm losing our friendship.
And how many times did we do it again?
I think we sold 3 or 4, but so a lot. But, you know, it was working through that. And I think that for us, we found that working separately was what saved it. We wouldn't sit down in a room together and try to get through it. We would be separate and come, you know, one would take a pass at it and come back to the other, hand it off to the other, they'd take a pass at it.
Yeah.
See, the secret to our success is lack of communication. If we don't talk, we're good.
Wow.
But we would eventually work together.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, we would work separately until it was time to come together, and with any luck, we wouldn't kill each other.
Right. Now, I just want to make sure I understand that during this period you were friendships and that you were friends, and then it was later that you started dating?
No, I think we...
You were living together when they...
Yeah,
we
weren't that far into living together.
Uh-huh.
He'd made it past the 4-month cutoff.
I didn't get fired or voted off the island.
Right.
And that's when the screenplays came up, and once... We solved that. It was interesting. When we solved that, we got better at everything
mm-hmm.
in our relationship, at respecting the other person enough to not be crummy to them. It was when I was, because I partnered all the time in advertising. I partnered with a writer or an art director, and I would never say the things to those partners that I would say to somebody that I was in a relationship
mm-hmm.
with. You know, I was saying things to Blaine that just weren't great, and I'm not proud of.
I was proud of everything I said.
Yeah, you were fantastic. But once we got past that, and we did the heavy lifting of the work separately, and we came together, and instead of saying things like, well, of course you want it that way, because it's your project, you know, and getting snippy, we'd say something like, you know, I was thinking, I like what you did, but what if we did this?
Mm-hmm.
And it was much more civil. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, that trickled into everything.
Yeah, I also wonder if I shouldn't talk about a reversal of situations here. When we were working on a screenplay that, like, needed a lot of work, and Honey hadn't been working in advertising. She was putting all of her time into the screenplay. And at the time, I was having a hell of a year. I work in a business where my fortunes can change overnight. You know, besides being a copywriter, I also do voiceover for film, television, and radio. And if you land one good national gig, it can double or even triple your income for the year.
Right.
And I had done that.
Right.
You know, I had a national campaign running. And, you know, I was getting, you know, 20 residual checks a month. It was great. And, you know, Honey was kind of having a freak-out moment. What was it you said?
Well, it's something like, you know, if I keep working on this screenplay, I'm not going to be able to work in advertising, and I'm not going to be bringing in any money. And he said something like, that's okay. If you don't make any money for the rest of the year, I've got it.
Yeah.
And, boy, that hit me like... You know, I was going to say a bag of rocks, but it was nicer. It was a bag of feathers to the head. I never, in all my, I'm going to be successful, I'm going to get out there, I'd never imagined anybody ever saying that to me.
Yeah.
And, wow, that just, what a gift that was.
Yeah, I hear that too, and I'm sure there's a collective yeah for the listeners out there that are in that situation now and have been in it. So that's a mighty nice thing to hear when you've felt like it's all on your shoulders.
Yeah, that was it. I realized I didn't have to do it all.
Mm, awesome. Well, Blaine,
yeah.
What do you have to say to men in your situation? And that situation being, you know, strong, high-powered woman, very capable of taking care of herself and maybe just having issues around letting go of some of that, letting somebody else help her. What do you have to say to men in that same situation?
Well, for one, don't be surprised if her cat never liked you.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, you had this cat. But I think at the time you had it for, what, 12 years?
Something like that.
He didn't care for me at all. Never did, all the way to the end. But, really, whatever you do, you have to approach the situation with self-respect and with dignity. And even when I was making less, I never spent my wife's money.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always moving the ball forward in some way, you know, both for myself, you know, career-wise, and for us.
Mm-hmm.
And since Honey had faith at the outset and we stuck it out together, you know, there have been frequently times where the roles are reversed.
Right.
So where I've made more. And now, you know, we've got a business together. We, you know, we run Slow Burn Marketing together, and we have equal salaries, even though Honey has the better title.
Yeah. Well, you know,
what is your title?
President for Life. You hit one word that I think bears repeating, and that's respect. And for Blaine, he had self-respect for sure. And for me, because I was concerned, you know, there was that place when we met, it's like, okay, well, he's in debt, and I did not respect that. But he was insanely talented, very talented writer. And from the second I saw his writing, I completely respected him. So because I had that, I think for me, that made a big difference.
Right.
Yeah, and I have a qualifier here. You know, I said have self-respect and dignity and don't spend your wife's money. Or I never spend my wife's money.
Right.
I don't know how a house husband and a working wife do. You know, that's a really different dynamic, and I think it takes a strong couple. You know, he's staying home and he's keeping house and raising the kids while she works.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to imagine that, you know, similarly to what Holly and I are talking about, there's a respect and a candor and an honesty that have to play a huge part in this. And that, you know, that's a special kind of couple.
Yeah.
You know, especially if they've worked it out without having any baggage. And, you know, I suppose learning from them is one of the reasons why there's the Red Weapon Project.
Yeah.
But, more power to them. How they do it, I've got no idea, but I'm sure that there's a place for them in this.
Yes, and that's for sure. And we're definitely looking forward to being able to bring interviews with men who are stay-at-home dads and working wives and the whole gamut. But, you know, I really do appreciate both of you taking the time out of your busy lives to be with us here today and sharing your story. And I look forward to hearing more stories from you as we develop this project further. And I am going to just end our podcast today with a goodbye from me, Pamela Johnston, at the Bread Women Project Podcasts. And Honey and Blaine Parker are small business branding consultants with Slow Burn Marketing, which has done work for the Bread Women Project. They've also co-written the book Billion Dollar Branding from Morgan James Publishing, which is available at fine online booksellers everywhere, including Amazon. So again, thanks so much, Honey and Blaine, for sharing your story with us today, and you have a great rest of your week.